Hey there, and welcome back to Take One, the podcast that brings you just one lively page of Talmud each day. And on today's pages, Bava Metzia 37 and 38, we come across this beauty. Have a listen. Abaya said to Rava, in disputing Rabbi Tarfon's opinion with regard to the one who robbed money from one of five people, did Rabbi Akiva say, this is not the way to spare him from transgression? He is not considered to have returned the stolen item until he pays the value of the stolen item to each and every one of the five. Apparently, in his opinion, in cases of uncertainty, we expropriate property and return it to those claiming it, and we do not say, establish the money in the possession of its owner. What an unlikely scenario, and what a harsh ruling. Yeah, you know, five people say, well, maybe you stole it from me. You go ahead and you return it to all of them. I read this and I was sort of scratching my head in an attempt to understand what was going on. And when this happens, there's honestly only one man that I call. He is my friend and teacher and yours, Rabbi David Beshevkin. Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Liel, what an absolute joy, privilege, and pleasure to be studying Talmud on such an ugly evening outside. I'm referring to the weather. I'm referring to the metaphorical weather of the world. And really, it is a joy, privilege, and pleasure to be immersed in Talmud with you in such a fascinating case over here where you have somebody who steals money from multiple people. And I love this because it's commenting on a case that the Mishnah poses and doesn't even know, like, who'd I steal the money from? Like, there's 10 people there. I know I stole from one of you and doesn't know which of the 10 it is. Does this person have to pay every single one back or kind of just place the money in the middle and let the 10 people sort it out? And this is such a fascinating case, A, because it's kind of hilarious to have somebody who, you know, like robs a bank but isn't sure which bank it was. I kind of enjoy that and love that. But more importantly, I think this teaches us some very important meta principles about halacha, about Jewish law itself and what is happening here. And I want to kind of extract two very important points that emerge from this. Rabbi Akiva's opinion in this case is that a person who steals from somebody but doesn't know who it is, it's one of five, in that case, they really should pay each of the five people back. And the Gemara, the Talmud, is trying to figure out, why is that the case? Shouldn't it be enough to just place the money in front of all five and just leave it there? It's clearly not his. He's giving the money back. But he should be able to rely on the presumption that he knows he's paying somebody back, but he just doesn't know which one it is. Why does he have to pay all of the five people back? That doesn't really make sense according to the financial principles of how we understand property. And I think over here you find something really fascinating about the nature of Jewish law itself. Number one, what you really find here is that it is not enough to just figure out what is the baseline property law, who owns this. That is not the only question, because after the question of who owns this, there is another question of paying restitution, of making others whole, and almost the religious process of ensuring that you did not deprive somebody of their own property. So even if in terms of clear who does this money belong to, it's enough to just place one piece of money in front of all five. But in terms of the religious process of actually repenting and making whole and healing from the sin of robbery, it actually makes sense to give each of the five people something. And that tells us something very important about Jewish law, specifically with financial law. Very often we think of halacha, we think of Jewish law as the ceiling of practice, of like the greater laws. And once we establish whose property it is, that's all I have to do. Rabbi Akiva is saying something remarkable. He is saying that sometimes the Jewish law is not the ceiling, it is actually the floor. It is where we begin the discussion of just figuring out who the property is. But it doesn't need to end there. Sometimes, according to the letter of the law, you've done enough. But sometimes we need to extend further and see beyond it and stop looking at the letter of the law as simply as the ceiling of the limits of our aspirations, when it actually functions more as the floor. It's the starting point. But that doesn't mean that you can't go above and beyond, especially when it involves healing and making whole with other people, with other Jews, with other human beings, of making sure that you are not kind of ostracized and breaking that trust of somebody else's humanity. But I think there's something even deeper in this that I want to highlight about the Talmud itself and about almost law itself. What I find so important about this Mishnah is that very often when we think of Jewish law, we think that it is law for the righteous, for the rabbis, for people who show up to shul all the time, for people who make a huge effort to study hours and hours of Torah study. Those are the people who the law is for. And that is 100% wrong. What I find so moving is that we have a Mishnah that is addressing a case of somebody who robs so often that he forgets who he robs from. This is not just telling us a fascinating, eye-opening case about robbery. What this really is telling us is who is Jewish law for. It is not for just the upstanding and the righteous and the holy. Jewish law is for the robbers, for the thieves, for people whose lives are not whole, in shambles, in chaos, upside down. And they're looking for some way to turn their life around and find stability in their life. If you look at Jewish law, if you look at the practice of halacha as this lofty castle where only royalty can enter, then you have it absolutely backwards. What we see from this passage, what we see from this Mishnah, what we see from this entire discussion is that Jewish law is not built as a lofty castle, but it's almost the tavern at the end of the block in the city where everybody comes in, pours out their heart, pours out their problems, and halacha, no matter how upside down or chaotic somebody's life can be, addresses you exactly where you are.
Amen to that. So beautiful, Rabbi David Reshefin, as always. Thank you so much for being our guest.
My absolute privilege and pleasure.
This has been Take One. If you enjoy the show, and I hope that you do, then you are really going to love the new book just published by me. It's called How the Talmud Can Change Your Life, Surprisingly Modern Advice from a Very Old Book. You can order it now at your local bookstore or directly from the publisher through the link in this here podcast description or through that big online store whose logo is, you know, a smile. As always, please go rate and review Take One on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You could get your Take One t-shirts and mugs and other swag at tabletstudios.com, and you could subscribe to our weekly newsletter at tabletm.ag/Take One Newsletter. Take One is a Tablet Studios production. The show is hosted by me, Leah Leibowitz, and is produced and edited by Josh Cross, Robert Scaramucci, Quinn Waller, and Ellie Blyer. Our team also includes Stephanie Butting, Courtney Hazlett, and Tanya Singer. For more information, go to tabletmag.com/takeone or email us at takeone@tabletmag.com. I hope we have made your day a little more Talmudic.